In the Word of God, he has just absolutely gloriously surprised me in so many ways with his grace and mercy. I stand in awe of him, and I've been serving the Lord I got saved when I was 12 years old, but I got really back to the Lord. I fell away. My mom and dad went through a divorce. I got bitter at both of them because they were talking about their hurt, their pain, their anger, their frustration, their agitation, and no one seemed to care that a 11 going on 12 year old boy was hurting, and my life was just falling apart at the seams. So I instead of staying vulnerable, and I got bitter, and I stayed bitter for a long time after that. And in that bitterness and the rebellion that followed that, I fell away from the Lord. But at 21, going on 22, I came back in a full-blown salvation experience and I appreciated what I had. I began to get a grasp on what it meant to be saved, what it meant to be a Christian. And that has lasted till now, praise God. Amen. From 21 until almost 64, I have never in my life, I have considered quitting ministry hundreds of times. Amen. I have got that discouraged as a pastor. It hasn't been easy. Remember Rodney Dangerfield? He said, "It ain't easy being me." Amen. Well, there's a lot of days in ministry it wasn't easy being me. I thought, Jeremiah got that way. You know, he said, I wish I was a wayfaring man. I wish I was a man that lived way out in the wilderness. I wish I had a house by a road that hardly anybody traveled. I wish I was out away from all of this stuff. Amen. And yet he would come back and do what God told him to. David, the pressures got on him to the point he wanted to sprout wings and fly away. Can you say amen? Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. Amen. The giant of discouragement, the giant of pressure can get to anybody. You can kill that physical giant under the anointing, but that giant of discouragement and depression is another thing altogether. That spiritual stuff. David said, if I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away to the wilderness. Amen. Same place Jeremiah wanted to go. Amen. Amen. And I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Amen. How many know life gets stormy? And the stormy seas come to everyone's life at some time or another. Amen. But David would come back to God, and Jeremiah would come back to trusting in God, and ultimately God would lift them up again and again and again. And to me, it hasn't changed under the new covenant. God lifts us up again. Paul is talking about that same situation. He just wanted to go on to heaven. Amen. He got a glimpse of that glory and all the persecution that was here. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I'm going to be forthright with you. A lot of people won't be that way with you, but Paul is that way, and the Bible is that way about men, anointed men of God. Can you say amen? He said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the trouble we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure. What a bad confession. Somebody send him some tapes. Can you say amen? Send him something, because if you don't say it, it can't happen to you. Can you say amen? And if he hadn't have said that, he would have never been depressed. It wasn't the persecutions and the beatings. It was his words that tripped him up. Well, if he just let some of these guys that's never been tied to a whipping post and beat 39 times on 5 occasions, if they just get their tapes. Amen. Shipwrecked 3 times in the deep for a day and a night, beaten 3 times with rods, stoned until they thought they had killed him because he wasn't moving or barely breathing. We still don't know if they did kill him and God raised him from the dead, or they thought he was dead and God re-strengthened him, but we know something. When he got up, he went on preaching the gospel. Can you say amen? But he said, this stuff can get to you after a while. Amen. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble, 1 Corinthians, that first chapter of the letter to Corinthians. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure and despaired of life itself, that we might learn not to trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, everybody goes through those times of discouragement. There's nobody immune to it. Everybody experiences it at some point, sometime, or another. Amen. Anybody who says they've never been discouraged or they've come to the place of faith where they're not discouraged is not telling you the truth. Amen. They're not being forthright. They're not being honest with you. I meet with pastors and we're open with one another. If we can't be open with one another, what's the point of meeting with one another? Amen. And it's to encourage pastors to be honest with one another. One of the reasons for getting together is that there's somebody we can talk to that won't judge us for being honest. And we can open up and talk about discouragements if they are there. Amen. Some people feel like if they preach on how to be discouraged, they must never be discouraged because this is the master key to never becoming discouraged. I don't really see it that way. Amen. I feel like I'm a good candidate to preach encouragement to you tonight because I've been in Elijah's cave myself. Amen. I said this morning while praying for Sean, if you go into that cave where Elijah went, and we'll get in the word in just a minute, if you got in that cave, you would see a name in that cave, Elijah, because he'd been there. And it would say Elijah was here, but he didn't stay there. And to me, that is Christian victory. It's not never being discouraged. It's never staying discouraged. Amen. David was discouraged. How do you know? Because he encouraged himself at Ziklag. Amen. When they spake a stone in him and it looked like bad had come and God had not intervened, he was so discouraged that he had to encourage himself in the Lord. You know, when everybody's wanting to kill you, you don't have anybody to encourage you. Can you say amen? We need each other to encourage us. But when everybody's mad at you and wish God would just kill you, then you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. Job ended up with nobody to encourage him down here. Can you say, man? His friends accused him of being unrighteous. You know, if something bad does happen to anybody in this room, amen, you'll get your share of trials and tests, believe me. Somebody's going to question that don't know your heart and don't even know your life because they don't live with you, but they're going to question your righteousness. Somebody is going to question your righteousness. Job's buddies felt like, well, if troubles come like that, he must have done something terribly wrong. They were dead wrong. Amen. But he sure didn't have any encouragement from them. They were accusing him. And his wife, oh, there's a great encourager for you. Can you say, man, Job's wife, isn't she wonderful? She looks at him over there with boils on his body and lost all of that, and he's in this terrible, he's questioning God. He is discouraged himself. And actually, what she said to him made him want to stand up with a revelation that God dropped in his heart and claim that revelation. Because she said, why don't you curse God and die? I mean, God hasn't done you right and done right by you. Why don't you just shake your fist at heaven and go on and die and get it over with? Amen. And he stood up and said, I know my Redeemer. See, I wish everybody was sensitive enough to be encouraging to one another, amen, and just sense it and say, Mike is smiling today and he's really playing good, but I just detect. But sometimes with so much on our mind, we may not detect that Mike is discouraged, amen, and we may not be there to say that word when he needs it the most. But I'm going to tell you, amen, God has put the Word of God in our hearts, the Holy Spirit is within us, and he is the grand encourager, the Holy Spirit. He said he will bring to your remembrance whatever Jesus has said to you. Can you say amen? That's why I love to preach all about what Jesus has said to us and really bear down on and get it down on the inside of me, because if I hear what he said to me, I cannot stay discouraged. If I listen, if I give heed to that. He promised to never leave me. When I don't feel him, he's still a man of his word, praise God. Hallelujah. And down through the years, in retrospect, looking back, Brother Taylor, amen, there's a whole lot of people that have left me and abandoned me. But God has never done that. Jesus has kept his promise to the letter. It looked like he wasn't there. I still like it's kind of overdone, but I still like the footprints thing. Amen. When I see it in a Christian bookstore, I don't have it because I've seen it so much I don't need it. I think I've got it memorized. Can you say, man, I got that, I visualize it, I can see it, I know about it. But it's just so typical of human beings, isn't it? Here's this guy, he's walking along the beach, you know, and he's looking down in the sand, and he says, I knew it. I knew it, I knew it, I knew God had abandoned me with all the trouble I've had. He looks down and he sees one set of footprints. Lord, have mercy. I knew he wasn't keeping his promise. I could tell you that from personal experience. Amen. And then, of course, you know, he says, Lord, where are you? And why are you not keeping your word? And there's only one set of footprints here. And, of course, how does God respond to that? He said, there's only one set of footprints there because I'm carrying you right now. Everybody say, right now. Right now. Amen. Right now, I'm carrying you. Secret to Christian victory is not never getting in that cave of discouragement. It's knowing that God is going to come, amen, and when he comes, to listen to him and let him bring us out of that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the God that comforts his people, amen, and I'm glad for the word of God that is eternal. I'm glad for the troubles of the people in the Bible, the anointed people in the Bible. I'm so glad to hear they had trouble. Oh, it just when I'm in trouble, it helps me to know that somebody else was in trouble too. Amen? And that trouble is common to people living in a fallen world. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have it. No place in faith where you control the circumstance for it to go away. Amen? In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen? So he's always going to be there. In your life, he's always going to be there in my life. That was not the sermon that I intended to start to bring to you tonight, but I started to bring it anyway. I want you to turn with me. We'll finish that for the Bible study tonight. Let's just turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. There's a man I want you to pray for. He's been a good friend to my mother-in-law. He's a biker type guy, not really biker, he's just a motorcycle enthusiast. Amen? How many know you can ride a motorcycle and not be a biker guy? So he rides this big full-dress Harley, and he's a big guy. You know, he just happens, I think he's got a tattoo or two, but he's a big guy. A strange big guy it is. He's a big guy from the waist up, but he's a little guy from the waist down. I mean, he probably could wear my pants in length, but he's got a trunk. From here up, he's tall. So he's still over 6 foot tall, but he may come here sometime. I hope he does. But you don't even notice that. Just don't even go there. But he said it himself. He said, I'm really not that tall in my legs. He said, it's from my belt up. And I looked at him, I thought, have you seen those things where they shift people and give somebody else's body? Well, it looked like he got my legs. He got my little short, nubby, stubby legs and somebody else's big old long, tall body. But it's good, though, because he's still over 6 foot tall. Just think, he could play basketball if he had somebody else's legs. Can you say amen? Pray to match that long trunk he's got. But he's a big guy. Amen? And so he just got back today when I was leaving the apartment, went over to my mother-in-law's apartment. My wife was taking care of some things after the sisters left. And he was standing out there wanting to know about Maylene, how she was doing. And Ed's in his 60s, in his mid-60s. And he just went on a ride down to some Harley place that if you're not a motorcycle, he said, you know where so-and-so is? And it's where a lot of the motorcyclists go. And they go there, and then they eat there, and then they, or whatever else they do. And then they turn around and come back home. And he had been on about a 100-mile trip there in one way, and then a 100-mile trip back to wherever he went, and been out there on his Harley, all day long. And he's got on his Harley garb. You can wear a white T-shirt and one of those leather vests, and you can just, you get off that big old motorcycle, and you're a big old guy, and you're just big, kind of imposing. And we're talking about, and I just, that service this morning, the anointing was still just residued on me. I just felt, I felt soft before the Lord. Amen. I felt like I wanted to walk softly before the Lord. And so he'd been a good friend to my mother-in-law. He'd just been a real good friend. And this is big guy. And I'm standing there headed for the car. And I turn around and come back. I said, Ed, I got to tell you something. I said, I want to thank you for being a good friend. And I started to kind of choke a little bit. I said, I'm sorry. I felt Jesus. I felt God's love for that guy. I just felt like, you know, I feel like, I don't know. Now, there's times I don't feel much of anything. You just go about your life. But today, I just felt God's love flowing through me. Amen. To Ed. I felt it. But I didn't know how to show it to a biker type guy like that. Amen. But God will take care of that. If you just, you don't even know what's happening sometimes. You can feel it. But, I mean, you know, anyway, I'm a little cautious around guys and how they're going to take things, because I had a friend of mine in school. He called me up and he said, "Is that you, Shoebops?" No one has called me Shoebops since him in high school. It's something about the Shoebop, the doop de bop, something. I don't know. I'll leave out that other part, but you know what I'm saying. And I thought, who in the world is this? And he told me who he was, and he said. And back then, we were doing little Sunday. We actually, our choir at church, Dale give us a tape of that. And you put that on some. You probably did one time in a pastor's thing. The hair, you got to see the hair from our choir. You got to see that. It's really something. Amen. We had just done a thing at one of the Channel 13, I believe it was. And when the choir does that, the pastor has to make 5 morning devotionals. They would have a local church come in and sing. And they televise it on a Sunday morning. But for 5 days, Monday through Friday, the pastor would come on with a 3 or 4 minute devotional just after they came on the air. And what had happened was, this guy I hadn't seen for many, many years since high school. I hadn't seen him since we were in high school together. He was in university, community hospital, scheduled for some serious surgery. And he said on the phone, he said, "When I woke up this morning, and they were prepping me for surgery, I saw you on there preaching on the television." And he said, "And I thought this might be the biggie," which meant that I might be going to croak. And God was telling me I need to get right. He was wanting prayer to get right before he went into surgery. They had come to get him. He told them, "Not yet." Hallelujah. I appreciated that. Because if you're going to face the biggie, it pays to be right with God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be right with God? Isn't it good that the holiest persons of heaven can come and live in your heart right now, praise God? Isn't it good that the Holy Spirit is called the earnest of our inheritance? Amen. You know what that means? That means that God has so sanctified you that he has not hesitated. He's not waiting to see. If you don't turn away from him, he's not going to turn away from you. Can you say amen? And he's so committed to his covenant that he's already put you in the Lamb's book of life. You're not on parole. You're not waiting to see how the Bible... Listen, he's went ahead and registered. That's why the Bible said that if we would worship him, he would not blot our name out of that book. Amen. And serve him. So anyway, I told Ed. I said, "Ed, thank you." And I felt the Holy Spirit. I didn't just feel emotional. I felt God. And when I reached for his hand, took his hand, I felt God. And I just grabbed his hand, and I was feeling the Lord. And he took me by the hand, and man, I'm glad that he was doing what he was going to do to me. Because he took me by the hand, and I felt light as a feather because he's so big. And he just grabbed me and pulled me in and hugged me. Now, when that big old biker guy is hugging this little old preacher guy, amen, I believe God's doing something in his heart. Praise the Lord. So pray for Ed. I don't even know his last name, but God knows him, and God wants to touch him. And I felt the love of God flowing out of me toward him today. Praise God. Hallelujah. But what I wanted to tell you about this guy from school, he said, before he wanted to carry on a conversation. They're prepping him, wanting to take him out of there. And he said, "Where's your church?" I said, "It's in Tampa." And I told him where it was. He said, after we prayed together, he said, "You don't go to one of them churches where the men hug each other, do you?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And then I must have blew it for him ever coming, because I told him, I said, "The Bible said for the brethren to greet each other with a holy kiss." And boy, it got real silent on the it got real silent on the other end of the phone. Amen. Because people on the outside really don't understand what's taking place on the inside when this thing works the way God wants it to work. But I felt that love toward Ed today, and Ed let down all of those barriers that most motorcycle guys with tattoos have, amen, and wanted to embrace me today. And he was reaching out for more than this skin. I sort of say this skinny little preacher, but this little preacher. Can you say, amen? Compared to him. Hallelujah. Listen, I believe he was being drawn by something he sensed there today. The love of God is powerful stuff. Hallelujah. And I believe it flows through us to a lost and dying world, because God loves this world as stinking as it is. God loves this world enough to give his son for it. He would give his son for this world as it is. If he hadn't given him already, he would give his son for this world as it is. That's how deeply and divinely he loves this world and all of the fallen people in it. Praise God. And from time to time, we'll feel that love flowing through us. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? I want to read from Psalm 73 just as we get ready to close in just a few moments tonight. It is not a psalm of David. The majority of psalms are of David, but there are psalms by others that were written and compiled in the book of Psalms. This particular psalm is a psalm of Asaph. And there's some psalms of Asaph that get right down where the rubber meets the road. Amen. And I appreciate Asaph's faith and faithfulness to God, and I appreciate him being forthright and telling us about all those inner struggles he had as a covenant man in the Scriptures, because he, like Paul and like David, went through times of deep discouragement. Can you say amen? But he, like Paul and David, always looked to God, and God is always faithful to lift us up if we would just look to him. Amen? But what he saw is somewhat what we're seeing today. We're seeing many of the wicked prosper in the material sense in this world. If you are rich, you can hire a lawyer that knows every trick in the book to get you off. But you do not want to go to court and get a court-appointed lawyer if you can help it. Amen. If you're just dependent on the court system. Justice is supposed to be blind. The only way justice could be blind is if everybody, or they had a pool of lawyers and you just had to reach in the hat and get one. Amen. And somehow somebody else. But it don't work that way. Amen. How many know there are lawyers that know every trick in the book? And if lawyers were in it just to get rich, they wouldn't take a caseload that big of people and take the paltry little bit they're going to get for the state when they appoint them to defend somebody. Amen. Some lawyers will take it pro bono. They'll take it without pay because it'll put them immediately. A celebrity murder case will put them in celebrity status. And if they win it, it'll bring a lot of business to their front door, because people will want them to be their lawyer when they're in deep trouble. Well, Asaph saw the world, the fallen world, and he saw the wicked just prospering in this world. And he saw the righteous many times suffering in this world. And he said, it ain't right. And he began to slip. He began to lose his spiritual perspective. Asaph almost fell away from his God when he was envious at the prosperity of the wicked. Amen? Did you know there are preachers tonight that envy the prosperity of the wicked? They want to be just like the wicked in terms of power and influence and wealth. They don't see the value of righteousness. They do not have an eternal perspective. They couldn't have it and harp on what they harp on 24/7, not even stopping for Easter Sunday. I couldn't get over it. Easter Sunday, hearing a message on seed faith instead of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christmas. And to see all the people sitting out there being tolerant with that. No wonder. I've seen people, there were people that were in our congregation, got saved, healed, delivered, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And they got to fraternizing with rich ministers. And they wanted what they had. And they left what they knew to be true. so that they could just go along for the ride and be close to big shots that materially, amen. And they would sell it out to follow somebody that's just wanting to use opulence to prove their spirituality, and people that would leave truth and not even have a second thought about it, amen, to fill their pockets or just to get close to, just to affiliate and rub shoulders with some big shot that has a lot of money in ministry. I'll tell you something about ministry. If people that are in it for the gain are in it for the wrong reason. People that are following Jesus just for personal gain or the gain of this world are in it for the wrong reason. And that's why he constantly challenged people to make sure, if you're going to follow me, you've got to follow me for the right reason. It's got to be about eternal things. It's got to be about the kingdom of God. It's got to be about the souls of men and women. But listen to Asaph, because I was riding Tampa Electric truck before I went into full-time ministry, and we'd been out on a call out just breaking dawn, and I was driving back, and I was getting the nods. Anybody ever stayed up all night, and as long as you were busy, Sean, please drink lots of coffee, pull over if it's necessary. I pray for him, because sometimes he don't get enough rest, and he's young and strong and all that stuff, but I was young and strong back then, believe it or not, amen. I was actually young at one point in time. Back in, amen, amen, and we were coming back, and I had a case of the, you know, you're going along, and I rolled down the window, and it was cold, and the lineman beside me said, "What are you rolling down that window for?" I said, "Would you like to get home safely? Would you like to make it back to the plant?" Amen, and that started our conversation. He said, "You're a minister of the gospel." I said, "That's correct." He said, "I want you to answer me this. Why is it that so many people don't give God the time of day, don't go to church, don't live for God? They are prospering. And some people," he said, "including myself, amen, that go to church on Sunday and give to the church, and I got this problem and that problem and that problem, amen." And I said, "I want you to go home in the morning." I said, "And I want, when you get home, I want you to brew yourself a big old pot of coffee and drink two cups right down. And I want you to read Psalm 73. Amen. And I want you," and listen, he went home and he read what I'm about to read you in kind of a closing few statements tonight. And after he read this, he came back to work Monday. And he said, I see. God showed him something right out of the Bible to answer his question. Amen. And he got his spiritual moorings back. And he quit complaining about some of his issues and was just glad that he was saved and not lost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But he had to get a spiritual perspective of things. He couldn't just look at things in the temporal and the natural. So Asaph's going to get real honest tonight. He said, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such that are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps were well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Isn't it amazing that there's a whole movement out here in the church called the prosperity movement? Does that kind of strike you as we read this as kind of odd? Amen? That there's a movement. He said, "When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, it almost threw me. Because I was envious at the foolish. I wanted to be like them." Because he had lost his spiritual perspective. Isn't that incredible? Does God bless his people? Yes, he does. But this movement's not just talking about being blessed. This is talking about opulence. Come on, this is not just talking about blessing. You're blessed tonight. That's a nice suit. If you wore that down in Port-au-Prince where I had preached, people would say, "Lord, have mercy. That man is rich beyond his wildest dreams." I remember trying to convince a guy wanted to sell me some beautiful paintings down in Haiti. Amen. And I had spent every dime that I had and give away the rest. It was my last day, and I knew if I get on that plane, I'm sure I'm going to get peanuts and Coke. I will be fine. Can you say amen? I don't need any more money. on the way back home. So I give it away. What little bit I had, I give away. And I honestly didn't have anything to buy anything. What he offered me was really nice, but I couldn't buy it. And he came up and offered me this, and I said, man, I would love to have them. But I just give all my money away. He said, you got lots more money. I said, no, I don't. I'm sorry, I don't. And he said, but you look like a very rich man to me. And to him, I probably looked like a very rich man. But the real rich, the regal rich, it's amazing, amen, how the world continues to flaunt the wealth. Enough is never enough with them. But they do have to make a statement. The house they live, the car they drive, the shoes they wear, the brand on the clothing, the stores they shop at. They buy perfume that costs $250 an ounce. Can you imagine? Amen. Listen, whatever I've got smells pretty good, but I guarantee to you, amen, it did not cost $250 an ounce. Nothing smells that good. Can you say, man, I have smelled everything on the counter and I've never smelled anything. Say, I'll take an ounce. Give me 10 ounces of that. Can you say, man, $250 because I really likes that. That's good. I did see a young black man at Dillard's one time. I was looking for something special for Pam for anniversary. They didn't carry the fragrances anywhere else. Never did find it, not even online. Can't even remember what it was. But after all, I tried Dillard's. They got a big thing of ladies' stuff. Well, I decided while I'm looking at the ladies' stuff, I'll go and smell some of these men's fragrances. And I'll smell some Sahara. Amen. I looked at the bottle and I said, how much is this? And she told me, and I smelled it again. And after she told me how much it cost, it didn't smell near as good. I thought, Daddy, hey, this go to Walgreens, get me some men in skin bracer and put gas in my car, can you say? But there was a young black man, and he was dressed in a pinstripe suit. His shoes, you could see your face in them. And he come up, and he had a little gold bracelet on here and a nice watch there. And he come up to the counter, and he looked both ways, and he looked down at that expensive stuff. He picked it up, and he gave it about 4 squirts. He looked over at me, and I was looking over at him, and he says, I got a date tonight. It was that same stuff, that you know. And he says, man, he said, I always leave early when I go out on a date on the weekend. And I come to Dillard's. And he got that good stuff, going to blow that lady away. Wow, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, the prosperity of the wicked can get your attention. There are people who can go in there and pull out that money and drop it down and never miss it. Can you say amen? And if you don't watch yourself, when you're struggling or when you're going through issues in your own life, you can look at them and think, they got it made. And this man just about bought the lie. He lost his spiritual perspective when he was envious at what? The prosperity of the wicked. One day the wealth of the Gentile nations will pour into the Jerusalem during the kingdom reign of Christ. But not now. But they want it so bad. They're so envious at the prosperity of the wicked. Amen. They're taking that scripture out of context. Amen. And they're trying to put it into the now. Any scholar of scripture, any studious Christian, you don't have to be a professor at a Bible college. Amen. Your Bible up at the top will talk about the kingdom reign of Christ. In that day, in the same day that the wealth of the Gentile is given to the Jew, people are going to grab the hold of a coat of a Jew. Amen. And tell him, show me the way of righteousness. Because God is going to bring salvation to Israel. Oh, it ain't over yet, friend. Praise God. There's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists that are going to have the revelation that Job got of Jesus, amen, is the Messiah. And they're going to preach the gospel. Hallelujah! But they want it now. What was about to trip him has already tripped them. They don't see the end of all this. There's a guy on TV the other night. And the only reason I see this is because I go visit Dad, and he leaves it on the Christian channel. And all these guys show up on the Christian channel. Amen? And so I go out there, and I hear what he's saying. Now, here's what he's saying now. And it gives me so much. I'm not angry. It's just that I can't believe it. I'm astonished. The guy sit there, and he said, I read a book when I was 17 years old that changed my life. And I thought he was going to talk about something spiritual since he's a minister of the gospel. And you know what he said the book was? Think and Grow Rich. By a secular man talking about the power of envisioning something and then going after what you envision. Think and Grow Rich. He said that's the book that changed his life. Well, any Bible-believing Christian, amen, ought to just turn and walk away. If that's the book that changed his life, a book about how to get wealth by a secular man who don't know Christ, who's on his way to a devil's hell. If that's the book that inspired him to get into biblical principles to get wealth, because what he really wanted in the beginning is not the kingdom of God. It's not about heaven and eternity. It's not even about the souls of that poor man. And he said, a lot of people will question that author. Of course they will, because he's secular. He don't know Jesus. The wrath of God's abiding on him. He better get it in this world, because that's all he's ever going to have for eternity. He said, a lot of people may criticize that author, but he said, I still tell you, he's unashamed and unabashed. This book changed my life. And he said, and then he looked right in the camera and said, I can have anything I want. I can have everything I desire. And I thought, what was about to happen to Asaph happened to him already. Asaph's feet were well nigh slipped. His feet, friend, are already gone. Can you say amen? There is a book that is supposed to change your life. This is the book. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How blind. When it said the blind would follow the blind. You have to be blind yourself to follow this blind man. Asaph's eyes were growing dim to spiritual truth, to eternal things. He could only see the temporal material. And he said, when I looked and saw how much better they have it than the righteous in the natural, temporal scheme of things, in the material, physical scheme of things, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And listen to what he said. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Nobody's going to foreclose on their house. Can you say amen? If they get in trouble with the law, listen, there's a guy, and he's not a big shot, but he knows some people that are not big shots, except that they have the zoning stuff in Plant City. He decided to put a fence up all the way past his house, you know, to keep him from the neighbor's dogs and all the sounds and everything. And he put up this fence. So I thought, you know, I'm going to put me one like he's got. So a year after he put his up, I put me one up just as far out from my house as his. Inspector came along and told me I had to cut it down to 48 inches. I said, but you see, his daddy is a big shot in Plant City. And he knows the people up at City Hall. And my daddy is not a big shot in Plant City and doesn't know anybody in City Hall. So they bend the rules for that guy, but they nail me. So I got out there with my saw. And if you pay what you pay for those fences, you know, the wooden things, they cost about $35 a panel. and you go cutting on them, and you mess, you know, it just, anyway, I cut it down so I could comply because I'm a Christian, but I couldn't help but have that feeling. I didn't envy that guy that don't know the Lord over there that got to bend the rules, but it didn't make me feel very good, amen, that the rules applied to me don't apply to him, amen. The righteous are suffering, the wicked are prospering. This ain't right. Can you say amen? And sometimes I still look at that fence and have to repent. Because it ain't right. It's the same fence. It's two houses over. They won't let me, but they let him because his daddy knows somebody else and my daddy don't know anybody. So the rules are twisted. This man was watching that. He said, I'd rather be like them. Listen to him, because people have not done what this man did to get his feet back under him. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. Anybody ever seen Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge? That ghost still, it moves on me when I see Marley, amen, coming with this chain he has to carry for eternity. And he's walking along with this chain that burdens him and he can never be free from, trying to give a warning to Scrooge to not go that way. Some of these preachers ought to watch Scrooge this Christmas. Can you say, man? I'm serious. They don't get it. They don't have a clue. They have fallen for the lie that Asaph was just about to buy into. They got to look at this world and wanted to be like it. I saw Larry Flint on PTL before it fell. Larry Flint, he wasn't there to glorify Christ. He had no desire nor plan to give up his pornography empire. But he was rich and wealthy. And they sit him on a Christian program and people complained. And they said, God told me you love him, I'll judge him. Honey, God did not tell you that. You don't compromise with the world in the name of loving people. If you can't judge right from wrong, you ought not be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You mean you can, Brother Venable? By this book I can. This book has prejudged some things. I don't have to make the decision. God has made the decision. Light and darkness don't blend. And we're told to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of unrighteousness, but rather reprove them. And it fell. And the family fell. And the testimony fell. And I'm glad people are reclaimed. And I'm glad people can repent. But the damage was done. And it just wasn't done. It's still being done. Because people still look at the gospel suspect when they've seen what people have made it in the name of righteousness. These are not little oops things that happen. This is a reproach that touches everybody. I have to convince people when I worked out in the secular world. I had to convince them by my life, by my consistency in Christ, and that I had no ulterior motive. Can you say, man? I remember, Sean, and it was such a blessing, walking down the steps from the break room, and a Christian guy that I worked with was inviting a guy down at the time clock and said, why don't you come Sunday and come go to church with me? He said, why should I? He said, all those guys want is your money. You tune in on Easter Sunday and you hear somebody just wanting you to give them something and not wanting to tell you how much God loves you and that He raised Christ from the dead that you might be saved. What are you supposed to think? You go to church and hear 30 minutes on the building fund and have to cut into the time to preach the gospel when there's people that come with a friend that needs Jesus. What are you supposed to think? Witness to a man at the gym I went to, finally, he said, I'm going to church Sunday. He didn't come to our church, but he went to a church. He chose a large church in Temple Terrace, and they had a building thing going on. He got there, he heard about that the whole morning. It was near Christmas, but they had a fundraising event going on. And then they took his name and address, you know, and Monday, guess what? Two guys came to his door, and they invited him to join the church. He hasn't even come to Jesus yet. He doesn't know Jesus Christ as his Savior. I have been witness to he has yet to hear the gospel. But they need money for their fund. And they ask him, what do you do for a living? He said, I own a gym. And he told them the name. And they start immediately talking to him about joining the church and making a financial commitment of his business. He showed them the door. Then he was mad and he started crying. He's a bodybuilder. Very intelligent guy as well. He taught at King High School Biology. He had a doctor's degree in physiology. And he stood there with tears coming down his cheeks. He went hunting truth and all he found was religiosity, dead religion. He's standing there and tears are coming in his eyes. I saw him back at the gym after the Christmas holiday. And he was telling me how it went. And he said, it shook me that all they looked at me was as a financial asset. Didn't love me, my family, care for my soul. He said, and I couldn't defend that. How can I defend that? When you go to church, you need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I couldn't defend that, but I could tell him the church has failed. We fail. Ministers fail. Amen. But Jesus is the one that hung on the cross. Jesus is the one that died for you. Jesus is the one that put value on your soul. Jesus doesn't look at you as a financial asset. Can you say amen? Jesus looks at you as an eternal soul that he loved enough to go to the cross for. What I appreciated about him, and I had to quit and do other things. My time got too compressed to keep going to the gym. But I remember him telling me, he said, so I opened my Bible. I had a Bible that I rarely ever read, but I opened it. I found the Christmas story. And I opened it on Christmas Eve. And I sit down. Isn't it something when the church fails so bad, but God is still reaching out to people? Amen. He said, I sat down with my family. Amen. My wife and my children on Christmas Eve. And I read the Christmas story from God's Word. Hallelujah. And I said, man, thank you. Because I was afraid he'd given up altogether. But he hadn't. There's still a book. And the man in this book is not like that. And the God in this book is not like that. And the gospel in this book is not like that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank God for a God like this. Thank God for a book. So that we know what's right, and we know what's wrong, and we know what the priority ought to be. Amen? Down at the foot of the stairs at the time clock, just as soon as that man, I was in hearing distance, and he said, all they want is your money. Amen. A guy pointed to me and said, what about him? What about him? Can you say, man, they're not all like that. I told you this morning, there are groups that I'm so glad they don't want me in there to affiliate with them. It's an honor. It puts me just where I want to be. And that's disassociated as far as I can get. I want to distance myself from the gospel of greed. Can you say amen? I want people to know, if you hear me preach, it's God loves your soul. Amen. If you never come to my church, if you never give me a dime, if I have to go back to work in my 60s, that's just fine. But when you come to church, I want you to hear the gospel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you bring a friend, I want them to hear the gospel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. One of the most spiritual men in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, made tents. So the gospel, in areas that the gospel was suspect, he said, you know our conversation among you. How we work with our own hands to tell you about Jesus. Amen. We coveted. no man's gold. We didn't covet anybody's apparel. We're not here to make you a financial asset to our ministry. We're here to get you on the road to heaven instead of hell. Can you say amen? Woo! That's why when I worked for 12 years, I wasn't ashamed to be a working pastor. And I found out there's a whole lot more just like me out there. Praise God. They preach the gospel and work 5 days a week because they love God. Hallelujah. And they won't compromise the truth. And whatever it costs, they want to tell men and women about Jesus Christ. And I honor them. Don't care how big the church is. I don't care what the title of the preacher is. Amen. If he's not willing to give it all up to go and win souls. Not that he has to, but he has to be willing to have my respect. Can you say amen? Asaph said, my feet were well nigh slipped. Verse 6 says, their pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence cover them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. I could hear this attitude in this preacher. There's so many follow and idolize. He said, think and grow rich changed my life. And how did it change it? It made him secular. It made his values match identically the world's. He said what this guy's talking about, that he envied in the wicked that prospered in this world. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. He looked in the camera, Sean, and said, anything that I can think I can have, I have everything I desire. Everything. There's, in other words, and I can tell you how to get what I've got. I don't want what he's got. Because he's messed up. He's exactly the profile that I'm reading you to. I don't believe he's saved. Because you have to become as a little child to enter the to see the kingdom. You got to become humble to enter this kingdom. Can you say, man, you oh, come on, church. You say, Brother Bimba, how can you say that? How can you, only God knows somebody's heart. Honey, I know it when you start speaking. Everybody knows it when you start speaking. When I open my mouth, the world gets to look in my heart. Say, only God knows it, the abundance of the heart. What happens? The mouth speaketh. Say it with me. When you open your mouth, you let people see your heart. Can you say amen? Amen. Those, they that are of the flesh, what are they about 24/7? They mind the things of the flesh. What about the people that are born of God's Spirit, walking in the Spirit? They that are of the Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. Can you say amen? You can't talk to them about the things of this world. Their eyes are on heaven. Amen. They got a higher view and a different value system. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there any knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And he said, when I first saw that, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long, I have been plagued and chastened every morning. I'm going through a hard time while these fat cats sit up there in luxury and in pride and arrogance. Their tongue walks through the earth. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Now, something's about to change in verse 17. A man is going to get a spiritual perspective, and it's going to change his value system. Do you hear the value system in Moses as we hurry tonight? Moses, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you know what that means financially? You know what it meant to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter? That means all of Egypt's riches are coming down the line to you. The richest nation in the world. And you were in line to be an heir of that. But when Moses had teaching, amen, old covenant, but teaching about God, the covenant God of Israel. And when he came of age to be able to receive that inheritance, he made a choice based on his knowledge of the things of God and the things of the Spirit. And the Bible said when Moses came to years, he chose to suffer affliction. Who was under the gun at that point in time? The righteous. Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He said, listen, amen. I want to be on God's side if we're down in a brick pit. I want to be with God's people if they're the ones under persecution right now. Amen. Count me with them if I have to give up the riches of Egypt. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because he looked past that temporal riches and wealth and he saw the recompense of reward. He knows there's a payday someday. There's a judgment coming someday. I'd rather be in that brick pit all day long and know when that judgment falls that I'm going to be standing on the right side of this thing. I see something beyond this world. I see something beyond the gold and silver. Can you say amen? When he came to years, he was raised on his mama's knee. She got something down on the inside of him that kept him from this world. Woo! He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. When you go to church, when you hear a minister on television, they're supposed to help you with your value choices. Not hurt you. Not make you worldly. Not get you into the flesh even more. Can you say, man, they're supposed to help you to stand and make the right choices, even if it takes sacrifice and suffering. I said, even if it costs you. Amen. Stand up for God if it costs you your job. God, you need God more than you need the security, so-called, of that vocation. Whatever it takes. Hallelujah. When you're supposed to go to a place where you get a spiritual perspective of things. Not go to a place so much like the world that they tell you how to be like them. Until I went into the sanctuary, it's like a light bulb going on in Asaph's head. He said, then understood I their end, not what was happening in the immediate, temporal, but in the eternal and spiritual. I understood their end. And he said, they're on dangerous ground. We shouldn't envy them and want what they have. They're on dangerous ground. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Can you imagine the judgment that's going to fall on Christ rejecting people that have trusted in their wealth and their pride instead of humbling themselves before the Lord? When he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Can you say, man? Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before you. You talk about a man admitting and dealing with his carnality. Amen. He said, I was just like a beast, a self-serving beast with no understanding of anything beyond my felt needs at any given moment. So foolish was I and ignorant. Nevertheless, 23 says, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion. Forever. Hallelujah. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all of thy works. Can you say amen? Isn't it good to see somebody that was envious of them coming back to Him and getting it right? Praise God. Woo! If that's the book that has inspired a man to go after riches and try to use the Bible to justify it instead of going after the kingdom of God, he ought not be in a pulpit or on a television, and Christians ought not send him a dime so he can stay on, because if they didn't send it in, he'd be gone like that, because God sure wouldn't supply it. He said, well, God must be blessing him. And you might have us to say God is blessing the drug lord in Miami, because he's got a penthouse too. Can you say amen? You know what Satan offered Jesus? And it was within his power to give it to him. You know what he offered him? One of the three things he offered him. Amen. He offered him the kingdoms of this world. He took him to a vantage point that he could see the great kingdoms of man and all the wealth and riches, fortune and fame. Amen. And he said, it's within my power. If you will fall down and worship me, it's within my power to give you the kingdoms of this world. Can you say amen? There are people today that have accepted that deal. They're not worshiping Satan openly, but my Bible says, what fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with Belial? Amen. Come out from among them and be ye separate. How can we show our separateness? Because our values don't match theirs. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? I said our values can't match theirs. How can, I'm separate because I don't cuss like they do. This is way beyond the four-letter word. This is about where your heart is. Can you say amen? Lay your treasure up in heaven where the thief can't steal and the rust can't touch it, but where a man's treasure is. Make no mistake about it. That's where his heart's going to be. Can you say amen? You can't serve two masters. You've got to decide. And when you decide that Jesus is more important than the kingdoms of this world, salvation is more important than the riches of man, hallelujah, you take your stand as a child of the Most High God. Whether you are rich or not rich doesn't even matter anymore. You got food. You got raiment, and you got Jesus and the kingdom of God and eternal life. Be happy about that. And don't envy them that don't know Him, that have all this stuff, and they're on their way to hell without God forever. They're telling you to envy them, that God wants you to be like them. Heard a guy say 10 years ago what he's still saying, and nobody's taking him to task. The wealth of the wicked is getting ready to be poured out on us. Keep sending in that money. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be the wealth of the wicked is going to be poured out on us. What do I want with the wicked's wealth? Can you say, man, I want God to meet the needs of my life, and I trust Him for it. I'm not envying Tom Hanks. Excuse me. Amen. For as I know, he's lost without God. Amen. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with $10 million? Now, I think if God give me $10 million, I know how to use it. I'd give so much away. I'd do so much for God. But I'd keep, believe me, amen, there are a few things I'd get for me. And it wouldn't be that $25, nothing. Everybody say nothing smells that good. $25 an ounce stuff. I don't need that, and I wouldn't even want to get Pamela started on it. Can you say? Everybody said, thank you, Jesus. For a Walmart girl. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Kmart, Walmart, anywhere. Pennies is okay. Sears is great. Amen. 2-for-1 sale. Praise God. Macy's and Dillard's. We got a card the other day, amen, wanting us to free, Macy's card. Just sign it and send it back. We'll send you a Macy's card. I say, what do we need that for? Amen. Go in there and look at a shirt that says Tommy Hilfiger in the label. It's a cotton shirt made in the Philippines. Can you say, man? And it's cotton, 100% cotton. It's cotton. Do you know what's going to happen to cotton when you wash it in the washer? Like all other your cotton stuff, can you say, man? There are no gold threads. I saw not one gold thread in it. The buttons look like the buttons on my other shirt, amen? But it did say Tommy on it, amen? Whoever he is, amen? It was $65. And I'm looking at that, and I said, I could get me three of them for a couple of $100 with tax. But I'd have to wear it inside out. Because this wasn't a Tommy shirt with the T on it, amen? It was only on the label. And I thought, who's going to tell it from anybody else's shirt? And if I'm going to pay $65 for a shirt, I want somebody to know what kind of shirt I've got on. Write Tommy in big letters across the front. Put a big T on the back. It gets silly after a while. What are we trying to prove? And for heaven's sakes, who are we trying to prove it to? Are we trying to impress the world? One guy actually said, he said, I don't want my people like y'all. I'm not preaching poverty. I don't represent poverty. But I'm certainly not representing the wealth and the people of this world either. But he said God told him that he wanted to make him all of this. So because nobody wants to serve a God that doesn't make you wealthy. This is how you attract people to come to Jesus. I thought the attraction was the cross. I thought the issue was the sin, amen, that would damn our soul and the Savior that came to save us. I thought that was what comprised the gospel. I thought that's what's supposed to draw people to Jesus. And if I be lifted up from the earth, that means the cross. Can you say amen? It's not how we praise Him on Sunday morning. It's Him suspended between heaven and earth. If I be impaled upon that cross and I suffer to the last and I pay the price for man, sin, amen. I, through that cross, will draw all men unto me, not becoming the wealthy, rich, powerful mogul of this world, but the Lamb of God. Amen. The first time in my life as a Christian, I'm not afraid to question some spiritual leaders, not just their doctrine, but their very salvation. Because the Bible said after you were illuminated. What happened when he went in the temple? He was looking at everything in the natural. But even back under the old covenant before the Holy Spirit was given, he saw. And he saw them in a different light. And he didn't envy them anymore. Can you say, man? When he saw them in a different light, he didn't envy them. God is taking good care of us. Sean's doing all right. I that's a pretty good roof that Doug has there. Amen. Amen. He got a good house. It's going to do him till Jesus comes. God may give him a bigger one someday. I don't know. But I think he's pretty happy. Amen. Mike's got a nice apartment. He's got a nice car. You've got a car out there that I like that car. When you drive that car, that classic. Amen. I like that. Amen. Did you know Brother Tony come the other day? And I didn't know he had a Cadillac. I had no idea he had a big Cadillac vehicle. And I was in here talking about Escalades and stuff like that. And amen. And Tony visited while y'all was out. And he told me he really appreciated being here. He said, and I looked, because he was headed for an Escalade or something similar, big Cadillac thingy. And I thought, Lord have mercy. Amen. And he turned to me. I didn't say a word. He turned to me and he says, now it ain't in cars and stuff like that. I said, oh, I know that. You don't have to preach that to me. Amen. I know it. He said, if you don't have the peace of God in here, I said, you're absolutely right, Tony. If you don't have the peace of God in here, you're not right with God. It don't care. It don't matter what you're driving out here. Amen. I said, I got a pretty nice ride sitting right there. Amen. It's an old lady's car, they call it. It is. Amen. Everybody I've ever seen in a car like my Buick is got a short and white-haired lady going down the road. Amen. Except my wife. My wife is short, but she's not white-haired yet. Can you say, man, I got to be very cautious. She's not here tonight, not even in that room. Praise God. I even heard a comedian the other day said I was caught in traffic beside a white-haired old lady in a Buick. I thought, it wasn't my wife. We in the Buick and we're short and we're getting up in years, but the hair is not white. And you say, amen. Hallelujah. But that's a nice ride. God has always given me a vehicle to get me where I'm going. But it doesn't matter about it. He's right about that. Amen. I don't know if you'll ever come back to church here. Can you say amen? But I know one thing. He knows where we stand. Can you say amen? I'm not impressed with the car somebody rolls up in. I'm not impressed with the clothes they got on. I'm not impressed by how many people follow your ministry. Can you say amen? How much gold you got in your pocket. I'm impressed with how committed you are to taking up your cross and following Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because if you ever take up your cross and follow Him, the things of this world will grow dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Let's stand up and give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be rich in the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible speaks of the wealth of this world as the uncertain riches. That can be shaken. I don't want to follow preachers that have done what Asaph was about to do and still haven't got a spiritual perspective. I want to sound the alarm. I want to lift up the trumpet in Zion. I want to warn you. Don't get caught in that. Can you say, man, don't get caught in it? I stood at my hedge and I looked at a monarch butterfly or something similar. It was just beautiful wings. But the wings were folded down like this, wrapped in the spider's web. And the spider hadn't even eaten it yet, Sean. Spider was full. There was other bugs he'd already destroyed, but he hadn't eaten that one yet. But he knew any time I want it, I've got it wrapped up, stunned, paralyzed, and bound. And all I have to do any time I get hungry is just walk 2 inches down this web and suck the life out of that beautiful butterfly. I guess, you know, the flies and some other things didn't get, but seeing the butterfly in that web, I wanted Brother Taylor to take it out. I wanted to unwrap it. I wanted to see it come alive. I can't imagine the horror if that butterfly, to feel trapped like that. See, there are people trapped. They don't see the spider. They don't see it. And there's no temple experience. Amen. To open those eyes and let them see. If there was, they would come back to God. Can you say, man, they say, I'd rather be with God's people no matter what the circumstance than to be part of this system that's under His consternation and judgment. It's soon coming. Can you say, man? The judgment on the wicked that are rejecting light is to allow them to go on in their blindness. It's a worse judgment than them falling dead. That's why they keep on prospering. They're headed for hell and they don't have a clue. They sleep, amen, without any conviction. Amen. They're going to die one day. Amen. And they're going into eternity. And Asaph says, listen, whatever they have is meaningless. It means absolutely nothing. Can you say amen? Count me with the righteous. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to see you can recover yourself? Praise God that there is hope for revival in the church in America. I'd like to see some of these preachers, Sean, come out of that web, spread those spiritual wings, and say, I was blind, but now I see. Can you say amen? Can we pray for ministry tonight? I can't just lay the truth out here and stand up and point these things out without praying for people who stand in pulpits, stand before cameras and have influence on hundreds of thousands of people tonight. Can we pray? Can we pray tonight? If only one of them would break ranks. If only one of them would say, I was reading the Bible and I saw something here. I saw something and it's changed me. This book and this God is changing me. Praise God. Lord, I pray that somebody will break ranks. Somebody will get their eyes open. And Father, if none of those leaders ever do, oh God, I pray for your church. I pray for your people. Oh God, that we would want truth. We would want truth. We would want truth in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. I pray for Christians in this room tonight that have lost their passion for Jesus. They love your truth, but they're getting away from you. Oh, God. Oh, truth and you are one. Can't have one without the other. Truth is personified in the person of Jesus Christ. Number four, if you will. Praise the Lord. I want to worship just a moment with you tonight. I have a mission that it seemed like I cannot fulfill, but I've got to. It looks like it's not going to make any difference, but we've got to hold the standard. There's just a handful of us tonight, but there's an avenue for the gospel to go to radio and through radio to computer and through computer to the nations of the world wide web. Praise God. If one minister tonight, amen, that's about to do what Asaph did, recovers himself, amen, and begins to preach the truth. Sean, it may not be me personally that sees this harvest, amen, based on truth. It may be somebody that's been inspired because we've held the standard. But I know one thing, we'll have an investment in it when it happens, if this ministry's had anything to do with that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to make another prophetic statement tonight. I'm going to put myself out on a limb. Amen. I believe the next revival coming, as I've told you, is not going to come through a super anointed personality, male or female. That's all. We've had that, haven't we? It didn't last, did it? Some of it was absolutely phony, and it found itself out. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something else that's going to happen. Praise God. Amen. And I believe it with all of my heart. I believe that, and I'm not talking about me. Amen. If God never uses me in any further capacity, I have been faithful to what He's allowed me to do. But I believe some people are going to come on the scene that are not television celebrities. I believe some people are going to come on the scene. Oh, hear me tonight. Amen. That have never written a book, that you don't know their name because you go and see a section in the bookstore with a bunch of their books. Amen. I believe some people are going to come on the scene, amen, as unqualified by man as John the Baptist. Amen. Why, Brother Venable? Because, amen, when you get involved with the system, when you get involved with answering to so many people and the money, amen, you can lose the purity of your ministry. God's going to have to raise some people up that are not in it for gain, that are not trying to prove anything to anybody. Can you say amen? That all they want to do is bring God's word to His people. John the Baptist come out of the wilderness. Nobody ever seen or heard of him. Man looked at him as some kind of, they couldn't believe that he had the audacity to go down and speak as boldly for God as he did without coming through the Sanhedrin and getting their permission and their agreement and associating themselves with them first. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He didn't have to show up and ask their permission. Can you say amen? He did not have to affiliate with them or associate with them. Praise God. God sent him. God called him in his mama's belly. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. While Jesus was in Mary, he was in Elizabeth. And when he heard about Jesus in Mary, he leapt inside the womb of Elizabeth. Praise God. And God said of John, man said, who authorized you? And God said, there's never. In other words, you're a nobody. You're a nothing. Amen. But God said, there's never been greater born of woman. Now, I'm talking about Jesus, who was divine. He said, there's never greater born of woman than John. Can you say amen? Oh, by the way, they killed him. because he pointed out to the king instead of chumming him up, cutting the word. Amen. He preached righteousness to a king. Amen. Convicted him so bad he wanted, listen, the woman wanted him dead, and the king got hooked into killing him, but he knew it was wrong and he knew John was right. Can you say amen? Took the head of that righteous man and put it on a platter. But I want you to know something. Amen. He came with a message before the first coming of Jesus into this world in his ministry, in the full-blown ministry of Christ. He was the predecessor. Hallelujah. And he said, it's time to repent, Israel. Can you say amen? Make the crooked path straight and prepare ye the way of the Lord. And he was baptizing them unto what, Sean? Unto repentance, that old dead message that we dare not preach in so many circles. Amen. He was a forerunner. And I don't predict this, I prophesy this. Jesus is coming again. It's called the second coming of Christ. Amen. And I'm telling you something. He's going to raise up a prophetic ministry, and they're going to have the same message. Make the crooked path straight and prepare ye the way of the Lord. He's coming for a church without spot and without wrinkle, but that it should be holy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And she can't get holy on this message that the world church is bringing and the worldly preachers are preaching. There's nothing to make you holy in it. You can be just like the world. Just exactly like the world. But if you ever follow Jesus, it changes. It changes. So I looked at the butterfly and the spider. And I can kill the spider, and I did. I couldn't save the butterfly. But I believe this gospel has the power to transform. And I believe it can keep us from the web. Can you say amen? Amen. We'll have this song in a minute. I just want you to stretch your hand one more time with me, and let's join in this commitment to preach this gospel till Jesus comes. Heda ma kosanda. Nanda da ba rosha la ba kisa la ba rosha la. Sometimes I feel as alone as Elijah in that cave. But I love what God told him, Sean. Just because people are not in the limelight and they're not celebrities, can you say amen? Doesn't mean that they're not godly men and women out there that God is talking to and ready to speak through. He said, I'm the only one left in Israel jealous for you. God said, you're wrong. They're not out there boldly proclaiming like they should. But I want you to know there's 7,000. Hallelujah. You think you're the only one left and they're going to kill you and you're in this cave of discouragement. I've still got 7,000. I thought about that. Praise God. I thought about that great church at Times Square in New York. Amen. David Wilkerson in his 70s still behind the pulpit preaching Jesus and righteousness, and 7,000 people showing up. Amen. Can you have a mega church and preach the truth? You can in a city that understands what sin will do to you and looks at it in Times Square every day, and they see the changed lives that have come to know Christ as Savior. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knees to Baal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe it took an Elijah and the testing he went through to get them to stand up for him. Amen, which they finally did. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's take our stand for this tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, again, I pray for ministry. I am not an enemy of ministry, but I'm an enemy of falsehood. I am the enemy. Well, I am set for the defense of the gospel as it was delivered. Moshe Labaki Sanama. And Father, seal this people with the holy anointing to know your truth, to walk in that truth, to see the riches they now have. Bless them with the things they need. Bless them beyond their needs on occasion. Lord, you're a good, generous God. And Lord, you love to bless your people. But be it known unto you, we're not in it for that in and of itself. We're in this thing because we clearly understand that a judgment is coming. And Father, how we appreciate being saved tonight. Hallelujah. How rich we feel. How blessed we are tonight. Hallelujah. How thankful we are to be part of your kingdom tonight. Praise the Lord. And when the line is drawn in the sand, we don't have to sit there and mull it over. We've already made a decision that we're going to stand with them that stand with you. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. There's no need to play that. I think we're done. It's 8 o'clock. You've been a wonderful audience tonight. I love you. I pray that you'll multiply. People just like you will multiply, because look what we could do for God. Amen.